Hey everybody, the Air Raid Podcast is now sponsored by the American Brewing Company in Edmonds, Washington. They're one of the fastest growing microbreweries in the Northwest, featuring the extremely talented brewmaster Skip Madsen. His breakaway IPA has become their number one bestseller. Stop by and find out why. You will not be disappointed. American Brewing Company, drink domestic, buy American.
I was just minding my own business. Bam! Hit me hard right from the back. I was glued to my seat. I was like, whoa! I could see the car in front of me. I was about to hit him, so I kind of veered off this way. As I veered off this way, the guy who hit me veered off that other way, and he hit the curb, flipped over, rolled over, run into the electrical pole, and I didn't know he hit the pole. All of a sudden, I kind of stopped, and I was like, whoa! And the wires come down, boom, and then arc, bam, that fire was coming everywhere. It was arcing, sparking, blowing up. I saw one arc go from the corner of my van up to the car behind me. It was like a big rainbow, boom, and it was coming up, boom, boom, and I was like, shoo. So I opened up my door, I didn't touch no metal, and as I come up, I started to touch the top, and a little spark jumped out. I said, whoa! I stepped out the rest of the way. Lucky I didn't get burned more. So...
Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Oh, hey.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
Welcome to Earth.
Episode 64.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
I'm not joking around here.
I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
I am dangerous.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yeah. And we also bring out the crazy. We bring out the crazy on this show, don't we? I think
I'll eat your babies, bitch.
That's a true statement. That is a true statement. We have got a great show in store for you today or this week, whenever you're listening to it. Mr. Sam Sahonis, the web guru and mastermind behind our website and the illustrations. On said site, and he's going to be dropping by Dining Room Studios here in a moment, and we're going to be talking with him about I don't know, man. Whenever I get together with this guy, we seem to have interesting conversation, and he's led a pretty interesting life. So so maybe we'll get him to tell some of those stories there. Man, I've been busy. I have been super, super busy this week. I had to go to the mall the other day. Well, let's start this story off. I sat and broke my glasses. I sat on and broke my glasses earlier this week. Just crushed them and just like tore them apart at the bridge. And I don't know if that's a testament to my weight issues, but I'm going to just go along with the thought that the glasses were like 6 years old and made of plastic. So that's why they broke. They basically disintegrated under the weight of my thigh. And so I went a couple days without glasses. And let me tell you, not fun. Not a fun time at all. Started getting headaches again, and then, you know, just bit the bullet and had to go in and get some new goggles, and now everything is fine. I'm seeing clearly now, you know, that's all good. But man, I had to. So I usually go to the place in the mall because they seem to be a little bit cheaper than everybody else. However, they do not have a great selection of frames for you. But anyway, so, you know, regardless, that doesn't have any bearing on the story whatsoever. But I did go to the mall, and I don't usually go to the mall. That's a place that I normally try to stay away from, if I can. You know, maybe sometimes I'll go to the game store and get myself some vids, there. But you know, other than that, I really like to stay out of that place. But this, so this glasses place, you know, they do everything in about an hour. Or they make your glasses in about an hour. I shouldn't say, because I waited to just for my, you know, my eye exam for a long time. Long time, man. I was sitting in that frickin' room without a smartphone, without one of these fancy smartphones. I would have been really ticked off because, first of all, I can't really read a magazine because I'd be holding it about 3 inches away from my face. But I guess that's what I did with my smartphone anyway. Just played some solitaire for about 45 minutes while I waited for the doctor to come in. If that's what optometrist is, they've got to be a doctor, right? They've got to be a doctor to do that. Whatever. Who cares? Who cares? Anyway. Oh, man. Good American Brewing. American Blonde. I love this beer. You guys need to go check that out. Check it out. AmericanBrewing.com. Find out where they distribute to and all that good stuff. Just really, really good beer. You guys need to give it a taste. And see if they can ship it to you. Who knows? Just shoot an email to them at AmericanBrewing.com. Anyway, so yeah, so hanging out at the mall. So I get my eye exam done, and then I have to just hang out there for a while, you know, like an idiot, just walking around the mall. And everybody is trying to sell you something there. Well, of course, I mean, there's shops everywhere, right? Duh. But, man, you just walk by, like, a kiosk or something like that, and they're like, hey, have you signed up for this? Hey, have you signed up for this? It's like being on the beach in Mexico and some guy trying to sell you sunglasses. Except for here in America, we actually have stores. So, man, that sounded a little racist, didn't it? I didn't mean it to come out that way. But everybody is trying to sell you something there, man. And I have my contract is coming up with my cell phone provider. So I need a new phone because mine's starting to crap out a little bit. Probably because I look at too much adult material maybe on there. Could be. Yeah. But so I go into the phone store. One of the big ones, you know, and they immediately have somebody. They have somebody come up to you. They're standing right there at the door, just waiting for you to walk in. They've got a clipboard, and they want to know your name and your zip code right when you walk in. What the hell for? Why? I said, look, you know, I didn't even give the woman my name because I was like, I'm just here. I'm just browsing. You know, my contract's going to be up here pretty soon. I'm just browsing. I'm looking at the new phones here. That's it. And, you know, you would with these people, these, you know, quote unquote specialists that are there at the store, you'd think they'd have a pretty good idea about some of the phones. Because I was looking at this one. It was pretty awesome. And I had some questions. So I flagged the woman with the clipboard down, and I said, hey, what can you tell me about this phone? And she starts spouting off basically what's on the card right in front of my face, you know, just going down the list. And so I start asking her about, you know, what the memory capacity is and stuff like that. You know, it's got this fancy dual core processor inside of it and stuff like that, you know. And I said, so you know, when you just got so-and-so bars, you know, can you still stream a movie on this thing on Netflix and stuff? And she didn't have an answer for me. Of course not. She doesn't know anything about this phone. Why don't you start employing people who know, or teach them, you know, some specifics about the phone rather than just having them read this card, you know, that a literate person can read for themselves. But everybody's trying to sell you something. There's upgrades for everything. We recently we are canceling our internet service that we have here because it's just crap. It's one of those wireless ones. I'm sure you can guess which one it is now since I said that. But I don't want to use names because I don't want to get in trouble. But man, calling to cancel that was just a trip because they are, well, sir, why don't we just try to upgrade your service? No, you did that already, and it still sucks. So we're going with a different provider. Just cancel my service. I'm sorry, sir, we can't do that. Your wife needs to call in because she's the one that... That's bullshit. Because it still comes out of my credit card, right? BS, man. You can cancel that stuff. You just want to make as many hoops as possible so we can't, discontinue our service. And then my wife calls in, right? And it sounds like this woman, the woman on the other end is like walking in a park or something like that on a cell phone. And she says that we're going to get this confirmation email that says that we've canceled. Never got the email. This was 2 days ago. Never got the email that it's been canceled. And now we're already signed up for this other service that's going to be coming in, and which is great, man, because I'm really looking forward to that better, faster speed. Man, because the one that we have now is just terrible. It's so bad. It's so bad. Oh, man. But yeah, so anyway. Oh, and like the glasses place, back to the glasses place, they're trying to sell me like this Scotchgard stuff, you know, for the lenses and this anti-glare material that goes on there, each of which, you know, costs like $75 more. I don't have that kind of money. I got a kid now, man. Yeah, God, quit trying to sell me shit. Quit trying to sell me stuff. Quit calling me on the phone asking if I want to donate to someplace because I can't, okay? I can't do it anymore. You guys are pissing me off, especially when you call during dinner time. Come on, man. Jesus, give me a break. I am super, I am hopped up right now. I am hopped up on this American Blonde from the American Brewing Company in Edmonds, Washington. how was that plug? Yeah, man, God, quit trying to sell me stuff, people. That's crazy. You're driving me nuts. You're driving me nuts. Anyway, let's get on with it here. Hey, we got one of our listeners out there, James. Gotta give a shout out to James R, who signed us up as one of the best podcasts on the King 5. King 5 is a news station here in Seattle. And listener Jim signed us up for Best of Western Washington podcasts. And we've got some votes on there. We're currently in I believe 12th place. We've been bouncing around from like 10th to 11th to 12th. And if you're listening to this show over in Norway, Belgium, Poland, overseas somewhere, not in Seattle, you can still vote for this. You do have to sign up. You can use your Facebook page to sign up, but it's super, super easy. They don't send anything to you. However, the website, I will say this, the website is terrible. The website is borderline non-functional. So sometimes I've been getting emails, because I put this on our Facebook page and stuff, I've been getting emails that people didn't know whether or not they voted. But please, vote for this. Get us in the top 10. That's my goal. I'm trying to keep it real, you know, or realistic. I'm trying to, realistic goals here. I want to get into the top 10 of this, because hopefully when you're in the top 10, maybe you get a little piece of paper that says, congratulations. You didn't win. but yeah, go to best.king5.com. That's king and then the number 5.com. best.king5.com. And vote for the Air Raid podcast. And thanks to James for signing us up for that. But yeah, help us get into the top 10. Also, go to iTunes, leave a review or leave a star rating. We're still waiting on, getting somewhere with this. And we've got another one that, I was totally not prepared to read to you. But now I'm thinking that that's a good idea, you know, just to read these. Maybe that'll be a little bit of incentive to get you guys to leave us something here. And you can also email me, aaron@air-raid.net. Give me, tell me what you think about the show. Also, you can tell us, you know, what kind of music you want to hear, or any guests that you may have in mind that you may want to hear about and stuff, and hear about their experience. So we're always looking for new material. So this review comes from JLN79, if that is your real name. And they say, love this podcast. Aaron is hilarious. Thank you. My ego is growing as I speak. This podcast just keeps getting better and better. You rock. Well, thank you, JLN79, for the 5-star rating and the wonderful little review there. So, of course, you can find us on iTunes. Friend us on Facebook, or like us on Facebook. We're up there, too. So, anyway, that's it. That's it. I promise. That is all. I'm still kind of miffed about the mall experience, trying to be sold everything. And we're going to go, let's see. We got some music, some new music that I want to introduce you guys to. This is the band Red Fang. This song is called Hank is Dead, off their new album, Murder the Mountains, on Relapse Records. And you can find them at redfang.net. They have got some of the awesomest videos I have ever seen in my life. For their last album, and now for this album, they've got this video, Wires, featuring Brian Posehn, great stand-up comedian. And it just looks like, I want to get the, oh, man, we almost had these guys. I was going to do a show with them. I was going to interview them while they were here for Bumbershoot. And totally fell through because I forgot that I was going to Alabama. So, anyway, we're going to still work on getting these guys on the show because they seem like they're really fun dudes. And they play excellent, excellent metal. And I hope you enjoy it. So this is Hank is Dead off of their new album, Murder the Mountains, on Relapse Records. And we'll be right back with more from the Air Raid podcast with Mr. Sam Sahonis, the web guru. All right, we'll be back in a moment. Yeah, that's good.
If I start lagging, you know.
Yeah, if
it, say deeper.
Just go deeper. Deep throat the mic. Deep throat the mic. So yeah, we are we're back and we're talking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm hearing you in my ears really loud. It hurt.
Okay. Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, good. Good. So we're back here. Yeah, I can still hear you. Yeah. We're back with Sam Sahonis joining me in Dining Room Studios. Old friend of mine, the guy that is behind the Air Raid logo and built the website. You're like the web guru for the Air Raid podcast.
Not can I help you get everything? Employers wouldn't consider me guru. I think I'd need to know a little more visual basic and C++. And probably not have gotten fired from a couple jobs. I'm like paying a lot of attention to the roles I see on Craigslist. So I wouldn't apply for that one. But.
You were also kind of the catalyst to get me to interview the Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, big
You've
fan.
Always been a huge fan of the Trailer Park Boys. And may I mention that you are wearing the Wild Stallions t-shirt from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yep, I'm keeping it real like that. I'm thinking about inventing a guitar, like, or two for them, and like trying to like do that, but I'll never get it done in time.
But get it into the next movie.
My sister was telling me I should try and do that.
Yeah, yeah. You know about this? You know about the next movie that's coming out, right?
I've been watching web like searches and forums for news about Bill and Ted's 3 for like the last. Like, since the web was invented, pretty much.
You've been watching?
I've probably...
chat rooms. You go into the chat rooms in AOL when Al Gore first invented the internet. And, like, just talk about Bill and Ted's.
Well, maybe.
But it is happening, right?
I think about it a lot more than I talk about it on chat rooms. But if you really looked hard, you'd find some funny posts from me on random chat room blogs. Every now and then I see some, I'm just too inspired to keep my damn mouth shut. Yeah.
But it is coming, right?
That's what everyone's been saying, like, for a year.
I saw an interview with what's the guy's name that played Bill
Elvis Presley.
Alex
Winter. He was also in Lost Boys and
right.
And then that movie Freaked was pretty cool. But then
that was such a weird movie.
That's pretty weird.
Oh my god.
It's like Mr. T was retro before Mr. T was retro. It was like a weird pull there. It was so strange. And I always thought that was weird because, okay, like Lost Boys, that was probably one of the coolest movies that was made while I was a child on the earth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was rad and it's endured, and even the kind of campy bullshit pics that have followed up have still been good. So it's like, okay.
I haven't seen any of that because they made like two more of them, right?
I ended up, just because I can't turn away from shit like that, I watched
it. Yeah, yeah.
I thought the third one was better.
Yeah, I heard the second one was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was really disappointing. They didn't even try.
Well, I think whenever it goes straight to video, like, it's not going to be that great.
Sometimes I can't even tell anymore, though. Has something even been in the theaters? You see shit on Netflix or like...
Oh, right, right.
It's like... I don't even remember that coming out. And sometimes they're really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, again, this
like
Netflix,
Mega Shark versus versus Giant Alligator or whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that one yet. I'm just going to skip the coaster and hold this
Yeah,
in my lap
yeah, that seems to not be working for you. Yeah. Well, welcome, man. It's been how long have we been doing this now? A year and some odd months. This is episode 64.
Finally got on iTunes, so...
Finally got it up on iTunes. That took, what, 8 months?
Some shit. You know, I got to take a little responsibility for that, but goddamn.
No, that was definitely your fault. That was definitely your fault. And people who have been listening...
Steve Jobs, now that he's quit.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
Hard.
So, hey, speaking of movies,
yes.
You have a tattoo on your arm.
Did you
see
that?
Oh, hell yeah, I saw it. Pertaining to one of my favorite movies of all time, Star Wars.
Hell yeah!
Yeah. Oops. So you've got the Rebel insignia on your arm, and now the all six movies are being released on Blu-ray here pretty soon, including like a bunch of like. They're claiming like lost footage and deleted scenes and things like that.
Carrie Fisher in wardrobe. It's a little nipple slip. Actually, an extra nipple slip because my friend Paul always swore that in Return of the Jedi when she's in the slave bikini.
Yeah.
It's like one frame, if you slow-mo through, where you kind of see the silhouette of maybe a nip under. Like when she's like killing Jabba and she's all shaking
around really?
And choking him, you know?
I'm going to have to... Okay. We might have to watch
that.
Yeah, we might have to watch that after we're done recording here because I have that on DVD. I was talking to Jim DeMonacos last night, the guy who puts on the Emerald City Comic Con.
Good Greek boy.
Yes, yes, totally. And I was asking him if he was going to buy the Blu-ray set. Because I don't know, I'm kind of excited for it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I always kind of geek out when new stuff comes out, Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But they're not putting the original versions on Blu-ray. They're putting the special edition versions on there with everything
and they're,
that,
like, souped up even more, right?
Oh, yeah.
Little new things and shit?
Right, right. Well, there's some some deleted scenes and stuff that have never really been seen before that are going to be included on that, which I don't, you know, I don't have a huge problem with. But if they're like augmenting things and putting new stuff in, like the CGI stuff into the background and things like that, that really kind of irks me. But I'll probably end up buying it anyway because I'm a sucker. Do you think you're gonna pull out some scratch for that?
No. Man, I ain't had scratch in so fucking long, dog. I've barely even paid for a fucking movie rental in like a year. I mean, I do Netflix, I do BitTorrent. I ain't ashamed to say it, man. I mean, I can't afford any of it, and I talk it up. I'm a geek, whether or not I'm on the air, or, you know, if someone's paying me for it. So I'm always pressing good stuff and, you know, panning the bad shit. So, you know, I don't feel bad about pirating if I'm so broke I can't even pay my goddamn student loans. But, you know...
Well, do you think you'll even give it, like, the time of day, then?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see some of that other shit. I love, like, you know, DVD extras and other...
Yeah,
you know, I understand that sometimes they gotta make money, but, yeah, everyone's overdoing it, and I would... I mean, there's so... It's just so much in the vein of the very elements of mega bureaucratic superstructures that... embody
get a little bit
the
closer
empire
to
was supposed to
there
be
you,
you know, so it's like
it's all George Lucas has become the empire,
and it's like it's just been because he's too lazy to make the final fucking trilogy too. Because I remember when my dad told me when I was a little kid playing with my Star Wars, like, oh, look at this, in the Oregonian today it says there's gonna be 9 of them or something.
Really?
Originally there was gonna be a trilogy and a sequel trilogy. So, and you know, there was like in Delray Books, they did Heir to the Empire, which is like a 3-novel series, Dark Empire, which is another
one. Oh, yeah, and they've done all sorts of comic books and video games that are still, they have to be licensed by Lucasfilm to make sure that they're sticking within the realms of the Star Wars universe correctly and things like that, right?
But, and they wrote, I mean, so there's so much content available.
Oh, yeah,
they
want
to construct a follow up. With, you know, them in their twilight years and their kids. I mean, it's the times, right, to actually do that now.
Yeah,
as long as they can catch it before Harrison Keel's over or whatever. I don't know.
I would just be worried that it would end up somewhat in the same vein as, like, the latest movie in the Indiana Jones series. Because that one was terrible. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I'll never forget that day.
Oh my god, dude. That movie was so bad. And like sometimes I borrowed the original three, the trilogy, the original trilogy, Indiana Jones, from my friend Kevin. And when I got done watching them, I had this like urge to see Kingdom of the Crystal Skull again, you know? And so I was kind of in the back of my mind thinking, okay, well, it's, you know, it's really, I remember it being bad when I went and saw it in theaters, but, you know, maybe it's not that bad. It's just like really campy and stuff, which, you know, Indiana Jones is kind of campy a little bit.
Anything Lucas does.
Yeah, totally. And so I went back and I watched it, and it is so bad. I mean, the acting is bad. The story is bad. You know, the special effects were terrible. And
he's got Shia LaBeouf, right? He was big in Transformers.
Oh my god. Yeah. He was one part that I hated in that movie. But
it feels like Harrison's doing it for the money at that point. Although I did like the whole Area 51 thing. That first part with the Nazis was kind of a cool sequence. But
it was the Russians though.
Oh, is that what it was?
I think so. Yeah. It wasn't the Nazis. It was like Cold War era. Yeah. Yeah.
Nazis.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can just look on the History Channel. We know there's still enough Nazis watching cable TV that they're still out there. But, yeah, bad call, Sam. That's the whole point of the movie, is it's beyond that era. But,
right. No, but see, so I'm afraid if they do an additional, or if he ever, you know, does another movie in the Star Wars universe, that it's going to end up just being so terrible that it's going to, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Nothing can sour my love for the original three movies.
Right.
You know?
There's parts of Sith that I love a lot too, and all of them, but especially Revenge of the Sith, the first scene where it's like,
right, right,
doom, doom. That's like, you know, it gets your blood pumping right at the beginning. They started right, right. It right, and the yeah, whole yeah. showdown was cool. You know, you're the chosen one, but then no, it just was like,
oh god,
Jar Jar Binks, the ghost of Jar Jar Binks coming back, and right, now they right. put it on the fucking prequels or whatever, the originals.
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. You know,
yeah, that's
I,
stupid.
I love it, and it shaped my understanding of the world. I remember, like, when I was doing psychedelics as, like, a late teen, early 20-something. Like,
we're talking through, drugs now?
Oh, yeah, man. You know how I do. I ain't trying to hide it. I've done a lot of, you know, LSD and shrooms. And when I was experimenting with that stuff, you know, I mean, not to the extent that I really got out of my mind, you know, unless the
right, right.
was wrong. But I was going through, you know, a lot of issues while I was experimenting with those. And I think there's probably a lot of people in our generation, you know, that were in a similar boat in that regard, if they're in my subculture, because, you know, that ambiguous or depersonified relationship to spirituality is all you have left with when you stop believing in the dogma of whatever, like, religious, you know, tradition you grew up with. So, you know,
for wait, how does this relate to Star Wars?
For me, Star yeah. Wars and the Force was this ambiguous, non-political, spiritual, like, structure to think about. Just
right.
those basic ideas that Yoda teaches Luke were really clutch and, like, superseded my need for church and stuff. And I, you know, my mom was New Age. My dad was, like, kind of atheist, so it's, like, a weird dynamic at home.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've met a lot of flakes, you know, throughout my life, so I'm pretty cynical. But morally, those principles guided me through that time when I was experimenting and thinking a lot of crazy things about the world and inside and out. And, you know, it was like Yoda was there for me. And it was embarrassing at times because I was just way dramatic and freaked out about, is this the dark side? You know, it's quicker, easier, more seductive, or what, you know, he says that shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in a way it is, but in a way it's just part of human nature too. So you know, I don't know, to me that was the real value in retrospect of the movie, although
right,
I love it. And that's why, you know, oh, I gotta say, JP Sokolowski at Third Eye Tattoo did it for me for free, because he's practicing under Melody and Ben over there.
Oh, okay,
in
okay, right, right. You're talking about
Third Eye Tattoo. I meant okay. to say that and I forgot, but yeah, and it was cool. Like, Ben's just like, you want a piece here? My buddy JP's apprenticing, so he'll do it. So,
oh, nice, yeah. Nice.
So that's why I wanted to commemorate it. It's significant to me that way. But you know, I've really gotten into Harry Potter over the years reluctantly, but by the end, when I finally
they
read
definitely
the series,
did a really good job on the movies and transferring those to film from the book.
And just like you that
know,
placing.
I mean, there's a lot missing, but that's always going to happen,
yeah.
you know, because you can't do everything in a book or it end up like a 6-hour long movie.
Right.
You know.
But I'm just saying, like, the place it occupies in our imagination, our collective imagination in pop culture,
right, right.
to me is very similar or familiar territory to Star Wars. That
right.
spirituality without the burden of dogma and, like, political, like, posturing.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
don't know.
Well, and that's funny that you say that, too, because that's exactly the route that they went when they did the prequels, is they went all political on you.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, huh? Well, the times, it was right for the times.
Yeah, yeah.
Even
yeah.
though he was, like, becoming a corporate entity in himself, or already had become one.
He was way far down that rabbit hole already.
It's
yeah.
funny to see pictures of him when he was like a hippie and plaid and just all
yeah,
skinny
yeah.
and freaking yeah. radical, probably.
And now he's fat like us.
I know. And Tunisia has revolted again. And apparently when they shot the original Star Wars, it was in Tunisia. And
right, right.
There was a revolution going on then, I believe. I read in an article, so it was really fucking crazy because
really?
A lot of crazy stuff was happening on right where. Yeah, I mean, it's
no shit.
Yeah,
no
I was
shit.
Reading that in something. Yeah.
Huh. I read that they left like all those props and stuff that they had up in the desert, like the big skeleton that they put. You know, when C-3PO and R2-D2
oh.
are like traveling through the desert and they come across that huge like. It's just like a giant spinal cord of some weird, like, dragon-like creature
yeah.
or something like that. And then the homes that they had built in the desert, too, they left all that stuff there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that would have been rad. Go squat in one of those spots.
Yeah, yeah, totally, right? Yeah. But, yeah, I think that I will probably still spend the money and get that or request it for Mairead to get it for me for Christmas or something like that. You know, I just, there's a soft spot in me, and there's a lot of cynics out there when it comes to like the new editions of the Star Wars universe and stuff like that. And like, but I think, you know, my love, I'll say it again. I already said it once, but my love for the original three movies supersedes all of that.
Yeah.
And my need to geek out on extras and special editions and things like that supersedes my my need to feel cool in the dork kingdom.
Come to the dork.
right, exactly. So I think I'll probably still buy it, if not rent it, and at least check out like the special features disc and stuff like that, and see what they are considering like deleted scenes and things of that nature.
That'd be fine.
I mean, I am the market that they are, you know, that they keep on coming out with this new stuff for. Like I am the epitome of the consumer. The perfect image of the consumer that will go out and buy anything George Lucas.
Oh, I know, dude.
You know?
Totally.
Which makes me sad.
No way, man.
But
if you got a heart that like has room for stuff like that, I think you're doing pretty well.
Okay, good. Good.
Don't you think?
Good. That's what it is. That's what it is, right? It's a lot of heart. I got a lot of heart.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break here. It's super hot in here, so I want to turn on the fan for a little bit. Let's take a musical break. What have you been listening to a lot of lately?
Well, let's see. I guess a lot of, well, Nick Cave, Lyre of Orpheus. Not sure how to pronounce it.
All right.
You hate him, I know.
Yeah, then, I'm not a big Nick Cave fan.
Man.
Oh, God.
No, I still haven't gotten the new Helmsley, but I really want to check that out because I put them on a lot.
Yeah. Have you heard the new...
Nico Case. I listen to her all the time. She's my favorite artist.
Oops,
now.
Sorry. Have you heard the new Red Fang?
No. But I'm down, dude.
Let's hear something off the new Red Fang record. I think it's called Murder the Mountain.
Oh, pigeon.
Or Murder Mountain or something like that. I can't remember. Yeah, Murder the Mountains.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
Kill them all.
Yes. Okay, this song is called these guys have such great videos, and we actually...
Do they have like a one of like D&D live action role playing?
Yeah,
guys?
Yeah.
I think I saw a
LARPing.
Clip of that once.
They did a video about LARPing.
I've done that before, by the way.
Have you really?
Oh, yes.
Are you serious?
Well, yeah.
When did you do that?
I was living in an apartment in Wenatchee, like before I moved to Seattle years ago, when I was still successful and inexperienced in the design world. And like this guy, Jason Underwood, that I went to high school with, he was like the cool hippie kid with bare feet that was always laying on the lawn, skipping class and smoking a joint. And like no administrators messed with him, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a massage therapist now. But him and his kids were always out in this park next door doing it. And he's like, yeah, come on over. And
LARPing, let's explain this a little bit for the people who don't know, but like LARPing is like role playing. It's like Dungeons and Dragons role playing, but you're doing it in real life.
It's not easy either, man. Like I got my ass kicked. It's like same.
So, but it's people, like people actually build their own chainmail and their own weapons and like crossbows and swords and things like that, helmets, armor.
It was all Nerf gear when I went, because it was just
the local
park. And
well, yeah,
it
can't.
Show.
You know, they don't make it. They don't make it to hurt people, but they do actually do the moves and stuff like that. But it's a lot of like they're actually role playing in real time or something like that.
I gotta say, at least in this case, there were some guys that were just in their 20s and thought it was cool, and that was a little weird. But for the most, and probably me as like probably approaching 30, and like I was just there visiting a friend. But there was a lot of like there was at least a few kids with their dads or their uncles.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was cool because, like, you know, my dad's a great guy. He believes in me. He loves me. I love him. We understand each other. But I think he thinks science fiction is gay. And, like, he's always suspected that maybe I'm secretly gay because I'm so into sci-fi, especially as an adult. No, you know what I mean? And not anything wrong with that. But there's just his own anxieties because of the associations that were put with that. So even comic books, too, is like, I don't know. So to see, like, dads going out and just geeking out and not giving a fuck. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jason was good dad.
Good, good. Well, you've got to check out that's the video for Prehistoric Dog by Red Fang. This new one off of their latest record, Murder the Mountains, is called Wires, and they've got a great video up in there. And this is off of Relapse Records. And you can probably find this in your local record stores, not to mention iTunes and all those good online sites. So we're gonna go with the song "Wires" by Red Fang, and when we get back, we're gonna talk more with Sam Sahonis about his experience in life, because you have got.
And your guitars.
We're gonna get to that. But first, we want to talk with you about some of these stories that you have, because you have some pretty crazy stories. And now he's just gonna whip it out. All right, this is Wires by Red Fang. We'll be back. We'll be back with more of the Air Raid Podcast. We'll see you in a moment. All right, we are back. That was Wires by the band Red Fang off of Relapse Records. Yeah, and before we left, I was talking about they played at Bumbershoot recently, and I had lined up an interview with them, and I was going to have Red Fang on the show, and then I totally remembered that we were going to Alabama. So
that's right.
So I had to cancel. This and that's like the Red Fang has been a band that I've been trying to get on the show for like the last year.
Oh shit!
So it's just like finally I got through. I broke through the wall and I had it in my hands, and then it slipped away.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do they live?
Pretty sad time. They're down in Portland.
That's not so hard to get to.
Yeah. But they, you know, they come and play Seattle. Pretty frequently, so hopefully we'll have them on in the future. But if you have not seen these videos for Prehistoric Dog and the song Wires that you just heard, you got to go and check these videos out, because they are fantastic. And it just looks like these guys, when they make a video, they have a shit ton of fun doing it, you know. So I will leave that to you guys out there in listener land to go and check those out. So we are back here with Sam Zahonis in Dining Room Studios. Sam, I don't know if you know this, but every time I'm at a party and somebody tells a story or something like that, you know, some sort of funny story, I always revert back to your life experience, and I pull from your life and tell stories about you. Because yeah, I do really. Like that's cool. Like you're my party story. Your life is my party story.
For that shit, man.
Right. Well, I did give you some free beer. By the way, we are drinking some
True
of
Dad.
The fine beers from the American Brewing Company. Now an official sponsor of the Air Raid podcast and other shows on the Noisebeam Network, which you can find at noisebeam.com. I am drinking the American Blonde right now. Sam just had some IPA, and that's water that he's drinking right now, but he already had the IPA. Because you can hear the ice clinking around.
That was stupid. I like shake the ice.
yeah. Sam puts ice in his beer. Yeah.
I had to go to water because I pounded them too quick.
Well, plus it's hotter. It's like it's the surface of the sun in the Roden household right now.
It is.
It's so hot in here.
Musty.
Yeah, it's a bit musty.
Or no, musky. You have a musky scent about you, Aaron.
Great. It's probably the beer coming out of my pores from the bachelor party that I went to last night. You've been on a party bus before, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was talking about the Shaw Safari from Annabelle Pants' dad down in Portland. That was crazy. And
this guy doesn't usually like. Actually do like the party bus explicitly for like people to drink on it or what?
He owns a realty company or something. Uh-huh. So I guess the idea was that he takes people on tours in San Diego of like real estate property. But when his little girl was getting married, he's bringing the whole family up. He drove it up and mm-hmm. It was rad. We drove all around downtown Portland. I don't even know where we went because I was just shit-faced. But, you know, we had a karaoke set up. We all sang karaoke. And then we left Dan behind. And
Dan was the groom?
Well, what the hell was the deal? He either dropped Annabelle off. What? Something happens. We drop someone off the hotel, and then Dan, the groom, ended up getting left behind. And I mean, it turned out to be a bad omen because they broke up really soon, and it's kind of sad, although I think they're both happier now.
Oh, that's good.
But it was a hilarious night. And
did it have a stripper pole?
In retrospect. No,
did you have a stripper pole inside
there? No stripper
pole.
Okay. No, okay. It was kind of sad, but yeah. Anyway, but... yeah, you know, I guess it was a lesson for me, though, because it had been, you know, I don't know. It was an affirmation.
It was an affirmation?
It was a little abrupt wedding when it started and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I haven't taken my time, but I've been really quick to, like, notice when stuff ain't working. And it's just, you know, sometimes maybe instincts are right.
Well said,
this
sir.
This fucking sucks. You gotta edit this part out, dude.
No way. No, we're keeping it all in. Now, one story that I tell people on a pretty regular basis is your trip over to Israel.
Yeah.
Now you were during.
We should also mention it's 9/11 today, right?
Yeah. While we're recording it, but we did the 9/11 episode the other day, which will drop today.
I will never forget.
You can't forget.
I mean, I will never forget that you did the episode.
Oh, okay.
No,
good.
But obviously. I'm just tired of all the fucking like fear memorabilia going on the waves right now.
It's kind of hard to stomach a little bit. I take this day very seriously, personally.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what I was saying in what will now be last week's episode, I was saying that, that, you know, I don't like to joke about it, you know, because I personally, I don't mind if other people joke about it. It doesn't bother me.
It's a tragedy, yeah.
But, it's a really hard thing. And I went back and I actually watched some of the videos on my work computer while I was waiting for the bus, which turned out to be a really bad idea because I started to cry. And, like, it, you know, very, very tough to stomach. Because it takes you back. I mean, it's been 10 years, but, you know, everybody... in our generation is going to remember where they were, what they were doing on that day.
Yeah, totally.
For the rest of their lives. You know, just like our fathers, your dad and my dad and, you know, our parents.
JFK.
Were probably, yeah, remember where they were, what they were doing when JFK was shot.
Or the moon. I mean, there is the positive side.
Well, yeah, there's, I mean, yeah, yeah. There's all sorts of experiences. There's, you know, the Challenger explosion, you know, things like that. Well, that's not a positive one, but you know, you have these experiences, and that was one that will forever, you know, hold a spot in our minds.
Well, and it relates too to your question, because I was in Olympia on 9/11, or just about to start school there, is right when I transferred from Ellensburg, where we met, you know, mm-hmm. and we had mm-hmm. our awesome band with different names, and it was awesome. Fuck off. I am not a fucking control freak, dude.
Did I say that? No.
But so
it was the subject of many banned arguments, but that was, you know, whatever.
I think actually you guys were polite enough never to say it. I just finally figured it out.
No, it was just you. It was just you and the drummer. It was just you and the drummer Craig that would always
fighting
get
all
into
the
it.
Time.
Yeah,
and you guys just get sick of watching. Fuck. So anyway, so I'm in Olympia, I'm actually working for the railroad, whatever. They made me choose between the railroad and Evergreen when I told them I was going to Evergreen. They let me go for 3 years at Central, work during the summers, but when I said I was going to Evergreen, they're like, you need to pick between the railroad and Evergreen. But, you know, so it was basically, I don't know if I would have ended up in the West Bank in the summer of 2003 with the International Solidarity Movement if I hadn't gone to Evergreen. It was really the experience, the decision. It was all heavily informed and influenced by circumstances in the place where I lived, in the space that I had selected for myself.
Well, and one of those circumstances was a friend of yours by the name of Rachel.
An acquaintance,
Corey.
Yeah.
Oh, acquaintance.
On friendly terms, but yeah, I didn't know her well at all. She had just given me shit because I wasn't ever going to meetings, and I was just trying to flirt with her because she had some like little news reporter scoop hat, you know, that I always thought was kind of cute. And I was on my high school newspaper, like, oh, she's probably really cool and smart.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I just don't trust groups, and she's like, well, you should get involved. And so she fucking dies, gets run over by boulders in Gaza. I was with one of her cohorts from her experience there when
the
morning we found out. And so all of a sudden, it's like I got swept away in it. But, you know, it's hilarious because the fact of the matter is I got involved more because she died. And I remember mm-hmm. her telling me mm-hmm. specifically, you should go out to these meetings and get involved with the community. But it all just ended up feeding back against me. And ultimately, it's just right. I just don't do that fucking good in groups, man. I'm sorry, Rachel,
well,
but I was right.
Let's tell this story a little bit. So you end up going out to Israel.
Yeah.
As part of this group. What was the group's name?
It's called the International Solidarity Movement. There is an Israeli-American and a Palestinian-American. They're married now.
Right.
That were just, I think, friends or lovers at the time. And their friend was killed in a crossfire of some violence. They both lived, you know, over there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a different kind of activist group that was supporting nonviolent resistance. And it was before the recent intifada, between the first intifada and the current one, which, you know, was originally the 80s, I guess, is when they started calling it that, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, you know, in some ways, I probably don't have any business having gone over there in the first place because, you know, even now, I still have a pretty spotty education about history there, and it's definitely biased and, you know, from certain sources. But, you know, the fact is that, you know, if people are, like, killing each other about God, like, I think every goddamn human being on Earth has a right to, like, have an opinion about the situation because that's something we all share, this idea of God. That's what it all comes down
to. And
so
is that why
it's big enough to share.
Is that what – is that kind of – does that feed into why the group that you were with went over there in the first place? Because it was my understanding that because of your artistic background, you went over there as an artist – to go paint murals on the wall that separated the two cities, right?
I wanted to go to Gaza and do it there. I couldn't get in, and so I hooked up with some people in Jenin in the town I was at that found a wall that it was acceptable for me to paint on.
So you found a wall that was – it was – lawful to paint on, or it was still kind of against the law?
I had someone's permission to paint on their wall.
Okay.
It was a residence in the UN refugee camp in the middle of Jenin.
Gotcha.
Just a year before, this town and especially the refugee camp had been leveled. There's like a 2-square-mile zone in the most populous area of the UN refugee camp that had been just raised from the ground by missiles and bulldozers, like F-16s and rockets and then bulldozers. And I think there was at least a couple hundred people, if not more, if, you know, if not much more, I can't remember the figures, that had died in just a 2-week period. That was this friend Eli of mine who had known Rachel that was over there. And so, you know, just a year later, they're really suspicious in some ways. And it's really this just vacant area that's all just dust that
right,
had been
right.
destroyed. And, you know, this really close memory. And it's just, you know, they called the operation Defensive Shield, and it's like, you know, yeah, there's a problem on both sides, but there is a very definite imbalance in the means available to express their dissatisfaction between the Israeli army, who's nuclear, one of the biggest nuclear powers in the world, and
right, right.
Palestinians who throw rocks and sometimes have AK-47s and, you know, improvised rockets or whatever.
Right, right.
So
you go over there, you're painting this mural.
It's important to note that we're supporting the right of Palestinians to protest nonviolently, too. It's not
right,
an endorsement
right.
of any kind of militaristic or violent
okay,
tactics.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's something to always keep in mind.
Yeah. So what were you painting on the wall?
Just whatever came to mind. I mean, basically I tried to depict like a mural of that scene, and it didn't match up to what I wanted. I think the gesture was what it came down
mm-hmm.
more to. And
mm-hmm.
even more than that, it was, hopefully they got something out of it, but I'll bet I got the most out of it,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
And it's a mixed thing, because you get in a situation like that, and I'm just a born attention fiend, and sometimes I deserve it, but a lot of times that's just my nature, to seek attention.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you get over there, and you just realize that, you know, people called it Jerusalem Syndrome, or people called it Rachel Corrie Complex, or whatever, you know, people go over there and just want to be the center. Sometimes I think there's a specific thing that draws people to Jerusalem or to the issue, because
yeah.
there's this centrality to it. And you just realize how much of an ego trip it is. Even like goodwill, even, you know, social service, there's this, you know,
you look
Christ
back,
complex.
It's right,
like
right.
benefit you still get from it. And so
yeah,
it's
yeah,
still
yeah.
about you, no matter
yeah.
how selfless you are. It's weird.
Right, right. You know? Like, who am I to make a change here? Or... You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like,
but I like
I
got
know.
Shot with like
know.
A rubber bullet. In
well, see,
way,
okay, so that's it. That's what I was leading into, because I got an email.
Yeah,
I got an email sent to me from you. I knew that you were planning on going to Israel, because we still stayed in contact quite.
This
quite
is
often.
The summer of 2003, by the way. Fucking
right.
old ass story.
Right, right.
But still pertinent.
So, oh yeah. So I get an email from Sam. Quit using that damn coaster, man.
I don't
what are you doing?
Get water on your surfaces, man.
So I get this email from Sam, a very short one. It was about a paragraph long. It says, I'm laying here eating ice cream, laying on my stomach because I got shot in the ass with a rubber bullet in the West Bank or something like that. And then somewhere in the midst of the email, you stated that you might go fuck a goat or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You may have been on some painkillers. I don't know.
Okay, I didn't get shot in the ass. So
okay.
that's precedence for maybe slightly anticipating a little bit of embellishment on the second part, too. But, yeah, I was shot in the leg, and it was probably a rubber bullet that hit indirectly, but someone
yeah.
thought it could have been a graze from a live round. It tore a chunk out. I couldn't walk for a couple days without, like, kind of assistance and crutch.
Well,
and,
what?
Yeah.
Wait, how did you get shot? What were the circumstances that...
It was just, like, the symbolic protest by local farmers in this village that was,
uh-huh.
you know, basically emblematic of the problem with that whole giant 20-foot, sometimes 10-foot, security wall that's all around the West Bank and Gaza.
But
yeah.
so you got shot in the butt, or you got shot in the leg.
Well, so yeah, so I'm sitting here, and then, like, you know, my girlfriend at the time, she went to fucking Montreal to the Sivananda Yoga Ashram, which is like the first ashram in the Western Hemisphere, apparently. And
okay.
she met Bhagwan Das, like, when she was there, he was doing drumming and chanting with him or something. Anyway, so right before the protest, she's telling me, oh, I think Bhagwan Das is going to come visit us for dinner, because we'd already set up a place to move into after the summer. all the shit, you know, on the line. And I'm like, okay. But she kept saying, I just think there's something between me and him. He's going to help me. And it was like her language was like, she was talking, using the same language she had always used with me. So I was starting to like, so are you like going out with him now? So then I get hurt and already she's kind of pissed. It was like right before, you know. So and then she's like, oh, you need to come home. And I was like, fuck you. I just got here. Don't make me a goddamn fool, you know. It's I came here to do something to support me, you know. But, you know, whatever. And I was just totally shitty and stubborn about it. But I was so stressed. But ultimately, here I am. Can't really walk. So I'm stuck in the upper story of this Janine apartment building.
So wait, was the same day that that your girlfriend kind of broke it off with you?
Because... Well, it was kind of over a few days after I got, you know, injured, you know.
So it was just like a series of terrible events.
Well, I'm up on the roof of this building, dude. And there's like fucking a tank. The one night especially, there was a tank that came in into town and was shooting off. It wasn't shooting anyone in particular, but it's a big sound, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got tanks like just kind of knocking shit over and making a mess of stuff and sometimes firing, you know. I saw a lot of big fire going on overhead, just intimidation stuff. I didn't see anything really direct.
Right,
but,
right.
And so all this shit's happening in the center of this other people's affair that, you know, I'm just kind of in a way, in a macabre kind of way, gifted with the witness of, and all I'm thinking about is my girlfriend back home.
boning some yogi.
I mean, dude, he's old. She ended up having to like block him from her email, she said, you know.
Oh, whatever. Really?
But no, and that wasn't it. It was that she wanted me to go home, and I was like, I'm not going home, and blah, blah, blah. This battle of wills. I'm sure it wouldn't have played out any better if we'd stayed together and I came back. But it was so humiliating to be there and to be thinking on such a selfish level, man. It was a real wake up. And I saw a lot worse stuff too, man.
Well, let's switch gears here. Aaron. Thank you so much for coming on the show, by the way.
Yeah, I'm really
it's been a real treat getting to talk with you. So the whole reason that we wanted you to come
come over sometimes, dude. I'm just kidding. Sorry. You go ahead now.
The whole
just
reason.
Go ahead and start.
Yeah, I will. the whole reason that we wanted you to come on. Because you and I have been talking about this for a little while, is that you have been building guitars now for what? Several years.
10 years now.
Well, almost, right? You built your first one while we were
still
over in Ellensburg.
I built another though. Okay. But I was drawing and thinking the whole time and collecting some shit, half starting some things.
Right.
I gotta say, Maxwell Guitars, because that's my middle name. Blah blah. You still can't spell my last name.
No, it's really hard to spell your last name. Yeah. But what's the website that we can go to? And there is a link on the air-raid.net site that you can go to, Maxwell Guitars.
I swapped it out for my freelance web design gig.
Right.
I can't handle it anymore.
That's a story for another day. What's the web address?
MaxwellGuitars.com.
Nice.
Pretty simple, straight to the point. Yeah. A few letters, but
yeah, no Sahonis in there.
No.
Because nobody can spell it right.
That's right. And it makes sense. And someday I'm going to make the Maxwell Silverhammer. And so, like, this first kind of flagship design is the Edison.
Right.
So there's
a
little Beatles reference. My friend Otis.
And
Richardson.
they're very ornate styled, too.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like violin. Almost.
I've heard steampunk, I've heard neoclassical, and I kind of like all that stuff.
It is kind of steampunk, isn't it?
If it had some copper in it, maybe.
Yeah.
So
I can see
that
a little bit, yeah.
And honestly, it was a kind of like non sequitur. It occurred to me at the time because it didn't seem like in his whole milieu of like pop culture intake. But Rick Davis, who was kind of him and his partner and business collaborator, Kat Fox.
Who's Rick Davis?
Well, he and Kat, they run Sound Guitar Workshop, which is where I built, you know, the acoustic that I built, which was my second guitar. Mm-hmm. And that was like after a lot of thinking, a lot of playing on this real kind of half piece of shit guitar that I built over the years, you know, it was huge for me to get in and just kind of work through all my issues with this guy. He's like, you know, he's been featured in a book that was written by, I think it's Tim O'Brien or... Anyway, he's the guy that does like This American Life on NPR, and so Rick's like this guy we paid to commission, and he does a history of guitars, and then Rick's featured in the deals. He used to live in Vermont. He owns this company called Running Dog Guitars. A lot of great players play his guitars. And his wife, Kat Fox, who actually went to Central and studied under Gary Galbraith, was her first woodworking instructor.
Oh, okay.
Also mine.
Right, right.
So after a year doing
that. So she's a luthier as well?
Yeah, she ended up working and apprenticing under William Cumpiano, who he basically wrote the book on building acoustic guitars that everyone follows today.
So you went and you did this class with them.
Down in Fremont. I'd been fired from my job at Ad Ready, which still haunts me on my resume today, basically for making fun of fantasy football. I basically sent out the company email, so do all you guys fantasize about playing with balls? And my boss wanted to fucking discipline me. And so then I sent out an email. I was like, does anyone else think it's ridiculous that I'm getting disciplined for this? That was the real thing that got me fired.
Oh, man. Dude.
So I'm like, shit out of luck, lost my job. Then all of a sudden, Manual Training, the band I'm in at the time, falls apart with Chris Fulkins right before our Comet gig, which was pretty fucking anticlimactic. And then all of a sudden, I discover, oh, there's a guitar builder just down the alley from me in Fremont.
Class
with them, traded a few websites for the class, and I'm still have, I guess, a credit line of class time or materials from them. But I tell you what, man, I'm really a critic of teachers, and I've never been as happy with a teacher as with Rick or with an instructor. It was awesome. I could ask him what I wanted. He would answer as best he could, and there wasn't any other shit. There wasn't any other, like, ego platform, like, added on. And I always just get really easily irritated by my teachers if I feel like they put on airs or make it about them, you know. And
right,
but just beyond like the fact that his personal disposition was great to learn from, he's just so knowledgeable and it was just so great.
Cool. So now you take this class, you really start to love building these instruments.
Yep.
And I got to say, you've improved massively since that first electric that you built.
Yeah,
which is still a really cool looking weird guitar. But these ones, I mean.
Like if Chewbacca had a guitar, electric guitar,
totally. Yeah. But these ones, I mean, these are like, this is the real deal here, man.
Oh, thanks.
They look fantastic.
You kind of didn't plan on it. You didn't say anything. I was like, oh god, he thinks they're shitty.
No, not at all. I think they're really cool. And they're very, very beautiful guitars. And so I would urge all of you listening to this, if you are into guitars, are into musical instruments, jeez, man. Go to the MaxwellGuitars.com and check these things out. Because now what you're doing, you've got your first order.
Right. This commission from Charlie Young in Adelaide, Australia.
Awesome.
Scott Ebert and Wenatchee's talking about getting an acoustic. And, you know, it's going to be handmade still, but it's pretty cool. I got a little cash in advance to buy all the hardware, so it's not such a long process with that, because it's been kind of a side thing up until now.
Right,
Going to do a Kickstarter.com campaign.
Get a little closer to that mic there.
I'm going to do a Kickstarter.com campaign. I think it's / Maxwell Guitars. And it'll be like my version of a Strat, kind of this neo-classified, modded-out Strat style guitar with like basic playability, and then you know like a Strat, but then aesthetics that are tweaked like my look or whatever.
And then a
Tele style, because there's just so many. That was the basic like impetus of this. Is I was like working at Boogeyman Guitars for the last year while I did a failed teaching certification attempt at Central, and Kevin. Is it Fairfield? Kevin, who owns Boogeyman, and Brian Brooks, who works there and you know runs the repair. They're big into country, both of them. Especially now Brandon, since he's been working there. But
oh yeah, yeah.
And like, there's so much about Tellies, and there's so many other players that are so about Tellies too, and that just that's like a real school. So I was like, you know, I've never played on one, and I really haven't played many Fenders, and you know, I should just interface with this and really get it a little better.
So you're going to make something that's got a little bit more twang to it.
Exactly. Something like that. Set up for a Tellies familiarity and preferences, something for a Strat player, and then also I'm thinking a Mustang, but I'll call it the Modstang. So
nice.
The Strat will be the the Shadowcaster. The Telly will be the Outcaster, and then the Mustang will be the Modstang. I think I'm going to start using Caster in as many ways I've never heard before as I can, and then eventually I figure I'll stumble into one that Fender has the rights to, but they haven't used, and then I'll have a lawsuit and I'll have all this free publicity.
You go, just like Ibanez in the 70s and 80s.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it can't hurt right now. Shit.
So what's the when are we gonna see this Kickstarter campaign?
Sometime in the next. Hopefully by the time this airs, it'll be up. I just have to push.
Okay.
Launch. You know.
Right. Right. Yeah. So send us the link, because we'll post the link up on the blog and on the Noisebeam site and stuff, and hopefully, because I mean, what are you looking for funding for? Is it just to get kind of the company
to build
up
the
and
guitars
running,
and kind of to offset a little of the time it's going to take to do them?
Okay.
So you're not supposed to like do a campaign just to pay for your bills, but I mean, pretty much anyone that's like building a work of art, the value is so subjective. I'm kind of just trying to budget it enough to cover the parts, and then a little bit of compensation to offset the time I put in.
Right.
But even the ones I'm doing now on this custom thing, it's like, it's not going to match up to what I'm putting into it.
Right.
I'm being really kind of conservative.
Yeah.
There'll be some.
So cool, how much are you gonna start?
Somewhere around like $1,500 for like the kind of deluxe ones. For a solid body, I'm thinking somewhere around $1,000.
Yeah, but what's the Kickstarter campaign? Because you have to have like a certain, you have to meet a certain amount of money, right?
$3,300 total, and they get like, I think, 10% or 5% or
right
by the end.
Yeah.
So I'm figuring something like that, and you know,
just to cover materials and stuff.
Yeah. Like there'll be probably about half that in materials, and you know, half that'll cover like time and producing like incentives, like pedal boards, which I'm gonna offer for somewhere around 100, and then t-shirts for 25 or something, maybe some hats. It's a really cool opportunity on Kickstarter because you can like set all this stuff up and you don't even actually produce any of it unless you get the money.
Right.
So if everyone buys, you know, t-shirts and enables me to build these guitars, then I'll still be able to sell the guitars, and all I have to pay is whatever it costs to run the t-shirts, which is pretty freaking rad.
Right.
I mean, eventually I'm sure the Fed's going to seize on that and start, you know, taxing.
They're going to get their hands in there somehow.
But it seems like people should be like raiding that closet right now while it's going on.
Well, they're starting to. It's getting a lot more traffic on that thing.
I saw a deal on there when I was researching it where, like, in New York, some guy, group within the community or something had raised $50,000 to install a floating public pool in the East River. It was fucking cool. Like, I mean, it hadn't been built yet, but they had, like, architect design.
Yeah.
So it was like, I mean, it's too dirty to swim in the East River, but they were putting something in that's floating so it doesn't take up any public space. It was a pretty cool idea, man. And they got all that money.
That's badass.
Seems like you need more than that, but
yeah. Well, we will make sure to post a link for the Kickstarter campaign and a link for your company, and urge everybody to go there and check out the pictures, check out the designs of these really beautiful instruments that you're making.
Cool, yeah. And if you just got the balls to trust me at this point, you know. Throw me an email. We'll build you something custom. I swear it'll work.
Yeah. Hey, I've played on these things, and you've got a bass. You've got a bass now. Is the solid body done?
I thought I was adjusting the bridge when I thought I was adjusting it correctly before I put the lacquer on, but it turns out, because I actually filled and reboard one of the post holes, but now it turned out I was stoned and it was off.
Oh no.
So I gotta the bridge is just too wide a little too, so I don't know if I like made the neck too wide, but basically I gotta do a little doctoring to get it playable. You know, I'm kind of like surprised that didn't happen on, you know, one of my first ones. It's like my fifth, and I was kind of hustling through something, and you know, it's a learning experience.
Yeah.
All of it. I guess it could get expensive if that happens much, because I'll have to just like do the whole freaking thing over if it's someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly. Yeah. Well, especially if you finished it already too, because you're going to have to strip all the finishing.
I better
off
be able to get that damn thing playing. I'm really stoked about it. Spellcaster.
Good. Excellent. Well, go and check this stuff out if you're a fan of guitars, and you can order one yourself. Just like whatever the guy's name is down in Australia. Charlie Young. That's going to be waiting on his here coming up soon. So thank you again, Sam, for stopping by. This has been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Aaron. I love coming by here. I wish we got to hang out with your wife more.
Yeah, she's kind of napping right now. She's napping right now. Yeah. But yeah, it's been a pleasure, man. And thanks for sharing your story about Israel.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, I think my version
painful
of this
experience in my life. Thanks a lot, man.
I like my version better.
Yeah.
How you get shot in the butt rather than the thigh.
Well, and you get in and you get out and it's over with. It's like, you start getting me talking about it. Fucking thanks for staying around for 2 hours, you guys. Sorry there was no movie.
And remember, you can find us on Facebook. And please leave us an iTunes review, because that stuff really does help us out in the long run. You can find us at The Air Raid Podcast there on iTunes. We're still trying to get to 100 star ratings and 50 written reviews. So you know, take a second and do that for us, because it means a lot to us and helps us out with getting better and better guests on, and you know, showing people that there is actual listeners.
And don't forget to drunk dial in, bitches.
Oh yeah, you can dial us. You can dial us. I'm never prepared with the phone number though, and that could be a problem.
Something's boom.
Yeah. It's 609-232-BOOM. That's 609-232-BOOM. And give us a call and, you know, just share your feelings with us, because we want to know. And Sam's going to drop the coaster one more time before we end the show. Sam, what else are you listening to right now, man?
That's a Nico Case.
Nico Case?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll play a little Nico Case. Right. We'll just go with a random one here by Nico Case. And we will be back in episode 65 with this interview that we did a little while ago with Phil Eck. And I know some people have been waiting on that one, but we, you know, some things came up. We couldn't get around to it. So that's going to be coming up next week. And until then, we will... We'll be back in episode 65. So have a great week, everybody. And this is Nico Case. Something by Nico Case. All right.
There's someone with that name.
Yeah. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you then.